Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, Calvin Butenhoff. Coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Give us a call. Send in a text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream wherever you're watching, if it's on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You have a chance to pick up some Brewers tickets for tonight's game. That's coming up at 11:20, so in about 20 minutes from now. Little Brewers baseball trivia from Greg Mock.
I get my trivia voice on.
Get the trivia voice on, and you have a chance to pick up those Brewer tickets coming up in just a little bit, so stay tuned for that. Also, Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com joining us at 11:33 to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival. It's incredible, and it's done so well, and it brings such a great spotlight to the city of Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
It really does. We're going to start off, though, talking about the former president's latest efforts to make money. Truth Social, of course, Truth Social is now being publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange. It debuted at, what, $80?
Yeah.
Around $80. What is the current value of Truth Social stock right now, Greg Bach?
It just went up to $42.30. It was 29 cents. So it's really doing well.
Yeah, it's doing really well. Barry Diller, who is a pretty successful entertainment executive, appeared on MSNBC, one of the business forums. Barry Diller had this to say about Donald Trump and his Truth Social stock. Calvin, play that clip, please.
Why are you even talking about this? It's a scam, just like everything he's ever been involved in is some sort of con.
Brief, concise, and to the point. I mean, when you look at his past track record, he's had lots of failures.
What did Abraham Lincoln say? Fail, 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 president of the United States.
And I guess, as I was thinking about this last night and putting some show notes together, interesting article from Midas Touch Network about how many senators, how many Republican senators in the U.S. Senate we're talking about are actually on that social media platform.
I won't lie. When you told me, I was shocked. I thought there was, I kind of thought you had to, like, if you didn't, you'd be in trouble. But Jane, how many?
There are five. Five. Again, this is according to the Midas Touch Network. There are virtually no celebrities, no journalists or TV hosts, than a small handful of right wingers. No athletes. No. I checked each of the 49 Republican senators today to see if they had active Truth Social accounts and were posting. Guess who's not on Truth Social?
I mean, I know Donald Trump is.
Mitch McConnell.
Oh, of course.
John Thune's not. Yeah. Tom Cotton's not. Ted Cruz.
Josh Hawley.
Lindsey Graham. No. Josh Hawley. No. Our very own Rojo. Not on Truth Social.
He says enough weird things on Twitter. I can only imagine where he'd get on Hinge. But don't worry, folks. Those senators may not be on Truth Social, but your uncles are. And they're here to deliver the truth to you.
I guess so. Three senators have active accounts on Truth, but have only posted a small handful of things, likely from their staffers. These include Mark Wayne Mullen, who wanted to fight somebody.
Yeah, he wanted to fight that union guy.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry, that's not funny.
He wanted to take it outside. He wanted to take it outside. So Mark Wayne Mullen is on Truth Social. Marco Rubio and Tim Scott. The five senators who are really the only ones using Truth: Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, Katie Britt, who gave the rebuttal to the State of the Union address, which went so well for her, Chuck Grassley, who's like 9,000 years old, James Lankford, who was censured by his own party over the border deal, and Tommy Tuberville. Not a single Republican senator is making unique Truth Social only posts. Now, one is using it exclusive of other platforms or posting anything original or unique on there. I would think that there would be a pressure campaign, right?
You would be
to get these guys on that platform, unless they're all just investing in Truth Social so they can short it.
Well, that's not a bad that's not a bad thought right there. I mean, at the very least, you get it so you capture your name. Like, this thing is, I have social media accounts that I don't really use that much.
I do too.
But I also want to have my name and that branding. Like, if you find me on social media, I'm always, I am Greg Bach.
Consistency.
Consistency. Yeah. You'd think at the least, they would have that name and then someone just going on there posting even, hey, trying to fight the Democrats on terrible liberal spending bill. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It doesn't make sense that they're not on there. But then again, think about it. You go on there as a Republican, and you say something that you think is, you know,
should go over well.
Yeah. Oh my God. And they just roast you, and you don't need that. You don't need that at all.
You're a rhino then.
Yeah. And I believe John Oliver did a piece on it either last week or the week before. They talked about, they tried to capture the numbers of how many people are on there. Because of course, everybody on earth is on Truth Social if you ask the right people.
Oh, of course.
But they say that it's less than 500,000.
That's not good.
No, that's not at all. And it's free, and you don't have a lot of advertising. When there's 500,000 people, like, there are people out there who have twice as many followers on Instagram than the entire platform itself that Truth Social has. So I can't imagine they're getting a lot of advertising dollars.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
That's a pretty limited audience.
Yeah.
But I just find it amusing. And this is not exactly amusing, but I think it is important to remind people also of the number of former Trump administration officials who do not support him for a second term. Mm. And it's a massive number. I think there are only 4 out of 44 of his former administration officials who are actually supporting a second run. Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper has called him a threat to democracy. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton has called him unfit to be president. Former Vice President Mike Pence has declined to endorse him, citing profound differences. Sarah Matthews, a former Trump aide, this is from the Associated Press, who testified before the January 6th House Committee and is among those warning about the threat he poses, says it's mind-boggling how many members of his senior staff have denounced him. And those are the people who saw him up close and personal and saw his leadership style. The American people should listen to what these folks are saying, because it should be alarming that the people that Trump hired to work for him a first term are saying he's unfit to serve for a second. And yeah. I can't think of any other administration with this many former officials coming out against the candidate. I don't know that this has ever happened in history.
No.
Not to this extent.
No, no. But remember, it doesn't matter, because the people who aren't going to vote for him aren't going to vote for him. The people who are going to vote for him are going to vote for them. Like, you can't tell a Trump loyalist that.
Well, MAGA's not going to care.
And I'm wondering if there are undecideds, or, you know, are there people out there still on the fence?
I think there are. I do.
I would honestly love to know what it is that's keeping you on that fence. I really would. I mean, I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm truly curious.
If you have not made up your mind yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it could be, again, you know, we had the 40,000 uninstructed votes.
Yeah.
In the primary, showing people's displeasure with how the U.S. is handling the situation between Israel and Hamas. But as Joe McClear said on the live stream, I dislike how Biden isn't doing more to help Gaza. So I'm going to let the guy who wants to wipe it completely off the map become president. That'll show him. We've been saying this for a while, Joe. And I completely agree with you. I don't understand. I understand being upset with the travesty that is happening in the Middle East right now. I genuinely do. But reelecting Donald Trump is not going to make things better for the Palestinian people in any stretch of the imagination.
No. And I want to know where this ends. Are you doing this again in August for the primary. Are you taking it to November? Because I don't understand why they're so proud of this. They're, like, people were on Twitter like, I did this. I'm like, I don't know why you think you helped.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, did Joe Biden yesterday come out and say that there needs to be a ceasefire? Yes, he did. And I don't know if that's because of the uninstructed vote. I'm sure they think it was. But is that good enough for you then to vote for him? Like, what's good enough? What will make you vote for him? What will make, I'll say this, and I don't like this mode of thinking when it comes to voting, because I think it's not good. It was what happened in 2004. But what will make you not vote for Donald Trump? What will make you not vote for what will be the complete upheaval of what we are used to in this country? Because I don't know. I mean, the man who's in the office right now is clear and away way different than the guy who wants to be there. And the fact that you don't like parts of his policy, I get it.
I do too.
There are parts of Barack Obama's policy I did not enjoy. He does not have the most sparkling legacy, but he was better than the alternative. They're not the same.
And if you're not familiar with Project 2025, and we've talked about this several times, and we will continue to talk about it because people need to know what the blueprint is for another Trump administration.
It's dark.
It is dark. And it is literally dismantling democracy as we know it.
Yeah.
I don't think people want that. If they understood what it meant, if they understood the ramifications of what could be coming.
I think that I see these individuals who go to Trump rallies wearing their American flags and saying they love America. And I don't doubt that they love America. Do they know that what will happen is the America they think they love is going to go away because they won't have the freedom? They'll have to, you know, we might come to a place where you have to swear loyalties as just citizens. And last time I checked, they don't like being told what to do. They like freedom. I like freedom too.
So do I.
I'm not swearing a loyalty to Joe Biden or anybody. So, yeah, just it's so frustrating. And we'll see what happens. And that's such a terrible way to end it.
Brewers, tickets, your chance to win coming up next. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you would like to win some Brewers tickets, the game is tonight. So you have to be able to go tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do a little trivia question.
Yes.
All right, Greg Bach, we're ready.
The question is, two retired Brewers have their own line of products. Call in and name one of them. Two Brewers have their own line of products.
Two retired Brewers.
Two retired Brewers have their own line of products. Call in and tell us one of them. You must call to enter this contest.
Yep, you can't text. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, if you would like the tickets for tonight's Brewers game against the Mariners at AmFam Field. I believe the first pitch goes out about 7:10.
You got it.
Look at that. Calvin is screening the calls. We'll see who's got the right. I did not know this.
What is the right answer?
What is the right answer? Two retired Brewers have their own line of products.
Mm-hmm. And the hint is it's beverage and food. Like It's not like clothes or a digital media company or anything like that.
All right.
It's very fun, very Wisconsin.
Ben from West Bend is on the line. Good morning, Ben. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really good.
Did you want to answer the trivia question?
Yes. Robin Yelton Lemonade.
Correct.
Well done, Ben. Yeah.
Now, Ben, do you know the other product?
Oh, boy.
If you don't know it, don't worry. You don't have to. I was just curious.
No, right. I'm thinking, is it peanuts?
Nope, it is not. It is Storm and Sauce by Gorman Thomas. Storm and Gorman Sauce. So, yep. It's, I don't know if it's even available at the stadium, but yeah, you can buy it at the Cheesecake, not Cheesecake Factory. Good Lord. I'm off today. The Mars Cheese Castle. So, yeah.
You can buy Storm and Gorman Sauce.
Yep. Yep. So, Robin Yount has his own lemonade, and Storm and Gorman Thomas has his own sauce. So, Ben, stay on the line, and Calvin will get all of your information. We'll get those tickets over to you, and have fun at the game tonight. All right. Well,
all right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Ben. And thank you for playing. Have fun. And if you want to take a photo from tonight's.
Yes.
And tag Matt Nair on air, that would be great.
Please do so. We'd love to see the fun you're having. Yep. Lynn from Oconomowoc last season went to a game and she sent us a picture and it was so lovely.
And it's just, you know, it helps put us there.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to be baseball.
I know you do.
I would love to be a baseball.
All right. Laughing Depp.
What
about you? Looking for some laughs this weekend.
Oh, we're all out of them this weekend. You're gone.
What?
The laughs are gone.
No, you're out of laughs.
We live in a, it's the sad tap now, Jane. Oh, it's just tears, buckets of tears. So we have Shane Torres at the Laughing Tap this weekend. Four shows. Too early, too late. So 7:30, but unfortunately the 7:30 today and tomorrow are sold out.
Okay.
So 10 o'clock are still available, laughingtap.com. Shane is, I'm sure a lot of you will probably say like, oh, you say this about every comedian. I don't. Shane is one of the best comedians I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
He is amazingly funny. He's one of those comedians who, when you watch him, makes you think, I can do that. No, you can't.
No, you can't. It's so much harder than people realize.
Exactly. And Shane is absolutely wonderful. So funny. He's just a funny person. Like, he's just off stage, on stage. He's just funny and nice. But he'll be doing four shows, 7:30 and 10. 7:30s are sold out. 10 o'clocks are available. Go to laughingtap.com for ticket information. Tickets are available online for $22.
$22.
$25 at the door. No drink minimums. And we really do suggest you get your tickets online because there were only three shows a couple weeks ago. We added a fourth because they sell out. So you don't want to be out of luck. And don't be like one of these people who calls up and says, are you really sold out? It says sold out on the website. Are you really sold out?
Because you guys just put that up there for fun.
All the time. People will walk in. People will walk in and say, I'm going to get some tickets. They're sold out. Well, don't you have any at the door? That's not how those two words work out together.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, yes. Happens. Yes. Or people will say, I saw it on the signs. Or they don't even read. And they're like, yeah, I just want to get some tickets. They're sold out. What do you mean they're sold out? Or I have so many stories. One guy looked at me dead in my eyes, goes, seriously? I'm like, no, comically. I don't know what to do with you. So yeah, don't miss out. Shane's a great time. It's a fun night out. It's an inexpensive night out, in my opinion.
It really is. Yep.
The drinks are incredibly affordable. We've got a great selection of beers on tap.
No drink minimum.
I'm pretty sure, I think all but one beer is made in Wisconsin.
Cool.
And we have wonderful cocktails, mocktails. So yeah, just come on down and hang out. I'll be there at the front door tonight. You always see me. Give me a high five.
That'd and it's fun. A really intimate venue too.
Yes, 80 seats.
Well, which is why it can sell out.
Yes.
Because 80 isn't that many.
You would think. Sometimes. But point is, yeah, it's a nice intimate show. And I mean, we're going to be having amazing comics. I mean, legendary comic Dana Gould is coming to our... If you know The Simpsons, if you have any sort of knowledge of The Simpsons, you know Dana Gould because he was a part of that show for so long. He's just a comic legend.
Wow.
So we're just excited to have these comics coming through town. But yes, Shane Torres tonight, tomorrow, 10 p.m. shows are available. 7:30s are sold out. LaughingTap.com. Storm and Gorman Sauces and Robin Yount Lemonade do not endorse me or the club.
They can always be a sponsor.
Yeah.
We would be happy to have them as a sponsor. By the way, if you're going to be home tonight and you would like to listen to a little baseball, the Mariners and the Brewers, 6:35, you can catch the game tonight on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, on WRJN in Racine, and in Kenosha at 98.1 FM.
We should go to a baseball game.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a game in a long time.
Were
describing one of the bratwurst you had on opening day.
The beer braised brat. Oh my God. And then she was like, would you like some fried onions? I'm like, of course I do. Thank you, ma'am. And then I put on some some mustard and some sauerkraut and some stadium sauce, and that thing was so heavy.
I bet.
It was wonderful.
I bet. All right. News is on the way next, and then we're going to talk about the Great Milwaukee Film Festival with OnMilwaukee.com's Matt Miller. He is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. In the stands. Come see what's brewing. Come see what the good times are. Come see what the brewers are doing. Come on and cheer a superstar. Be a believer in brewer fever. It's fun to join in the cheering. Stomp your feet, clap your hands. You're part of the team. You're part of the team sitting in the stands. Come see what's brewing. The Milwaukee Brewers. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text the show at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also email the show directly if you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic or something going on in your community that you would like to get a little more attention. Send your email to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. He is making a special appearance with us today to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival. It's on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller. Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's not gray outside right now, or it's not as gray as it used to be.
As it has been. Yep, we actually have a little bit of sunshine. It looks like we have a few more clouds moving into Waukesha, but I think tomorrow's supposed to be pretty nice.
What was that S word? Sunshine?
Yes, sunshine.
I don't understand this premise.
Hopefully later this weekend. Milwaukee Film Festival, when does that all get rocking, Matt?
Yeah, so opening night is Thursday. We are less than a week away from the start of the Milwaukee Film Festival. They're going to be opening up with a documentary about Lamb Chop, if you remember the old children's TV show, Sherry
yes.
and Lamb Chop.
What?
I grew up with that TV show. That was like one of my early like childhood memories was watching that show. And so it's going to be a really kind of fun way to open up the film festival to so look cool. back at, you know, such a integral character in children's media. And then, you know, it's going to run for two more weeks with a bunch of incredible films across all sorts of genres. If you like horror movies, they've got horror movies. If you like documentaries, got documentaries. If you like dramas, they've got those. If you're a sports fan, they've got sports documentaries this year. So just a whole bunch of stuff. I always say to people, like, if you have an interest, if there is something that interests you in life, you will find something that interests you at the Milwaukee Film Festival.
I want to go back just for a second to the Lamb Chop documentary. Promise me that this isn't Lamb Chop Exposed or, you know, Lamb Chop Under the Covers.
Lamb Chop Blood and Honey.
I just know.
No, this is not the Lifetime original movie version of Lamb Chop. This is a documentary about Sherry, about, you know, the creation of this iconic character. And kind of, you know, I want to see it just because, like, it's one of those things that when you look back at it and try to explain it to, like, anyone under the age of 20, it's like, so there was a woman with a sock puppet.
Essentially.
It was clearly a sock puppet.
Yes.
And it was the best children's television. It was the most comforting, best educational children's television out there. And it's like that was popular. It's like Bob Ross, you know, it's like trying to explain that. No, you don't understand. A guy painting was top television.
Resident young person, Calvin, have you ever heard of Sherry Lewis and or Lamb Chop?
No,
I didn't think so.
I have not.
Okay, you don't have to say it with so much stank on your voice, man. I'm just asking a question.
Now that I heard Sock Puppet, though, I think maybe it's not like maybe like vaguely I might like recognize an image. But
do a Google search for Lamb Chop, and I bet you'll recognize it.
Make sure you put Puppet, or else it's gonna be very weird.
Yeah, it should be a very sweet start to the film festival. Yeah. They've got a bunch of really great movies, including some that were Oscar nominated this past year, but haven't come to Milwaukee yet. They're going to have Io Capitano, which was, I believe, an international film nominee. And then you have their closing night movie, Robot Dreams, an animated movie about a lonely dog who buys himself a robot to be his friend. And it's about their adventures throughout animated 1980s New York. It looks deeply charming, was nominated for best animated film this year. Like, and again, that's three movies. That is three movies in a list that goes beyond 300 movies this year. They have so many movies all across. And best of all, not only are you getting great new movies, you're getting a theater back. The Downer Theater is reopening for the Milwaukee Film Festival, kind of having its debut reopening under the Milwaukee Film umbrella. And then after the film festival, the Downer is going to be open for business again. So not only do you get great movies, but you get to go back to the Downer again, which is an upper, if there was ever one. Sorry, easy dope.
No, that's great.
I had to take the layup. But yeah, they've got really tremendous stuff this year. If you missed The Taste of Things, a gorgeous French food porn movie with Juliette Binoche. Really terrific movie about a chef and his partner and them cooking together and what the food means to them and what they mean to each other. And it's romantic, and it's this beautiful movie about appreciating both people and work and food. And please eat dinner beforehand, because you will start chewing the seat in front of you. It's a really great movie. It had a really small release like a month or two ago around Valentine's Day. Now it's going to be at the film festival if you missed it back then. So a bunch of really greats.
Yeah.
What is that called again, Matt? Which one is that?
That was called The Taste of Things.
The Taste of Things. And why did you have such a bad reaction to the animated with the dog getting the robot movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm asking Greg, because he was like, no. What could possibly prompt that strong of a response to that little description?
Do you want to go to a movie and hear and or witness a 46-year-old man sobbing? Are you kidding me, Jane? A robot buys a dog in an animated movie about New York City. You don't think I'm going to see some robot sad eyes, some dog sad eyes, some rain coming down? I'm just going to be a bucket of tears the entire time. I don't need that. But
yeah, this is going to be, you're like Marley and Me too.
Oh God.
Oh no.
To Marley, to me.
Shut up.
Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com is here, and we are talking about the Great Milwaukee Film Festival that kicks off next Thursday already.
Something that Jane was talking about earlier, and this is very true, because we've all, if you lived in Milwaukee or you've been around the area for a while, is truly the history. I mean, honestly, like, soon they could release a documentary about the Milwaukee Film Festival, because like all great festivals, it just started off as something just, you know, small. Few films here, few films there. Now it's getting, it's grown. It's getting recognized for being a place to show wonderful movies and people coming to show their films and feeling welcomed in our film community.
Yeah,
I believe this is its 16th year, Sweet 16. It gets to vote this year in the election. So, it was really growing there, and it had a hiccup, as all film festivals did because of the pandemic.
Oh yeah,
you know, it had such momentum in the late past decade, And, you know, it's reclaiming a lot of that momentum and it's still doing great things. And I think there was sometimes this idea of like, oh, it could be the next Sundance. It could be the next Toronto Film Festival. And that's not what the purpose of the Milwaukee Film Festival is. It's not a debut film festival. It's not a festival where you're going to have, like, you know, the next big Best Picture movies having their world premieres and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But what you're still going to get great movies at it. But what makes it so valuable is that, you know, Milwaukee's is still a pretty relatively small market in the grand scheme of things. And we don't get that many movies. We don't have that much. There aren't the kind of theaters that a New York or an LA or Chicago get. So a lot of this stuff, if it wasn't at the Milwaukee Film Festival, you would never see on a big screen otherwise. I mean, the best movie I saw last year, Rice Boy Sleeps, was a Milwaukee Film Festival movie that never, I don't even think that movie technically had a big screen run here in the States. I think it went straight to streaming, straight to VOD essentially. And I got to see it on the big screen where it just totally walloped me emotionally. And without the, like, that is the purpose of the Milwaukee. We don't need the big starry red carpet premieres for movies that probably aren't really that good, really, honestly. We need a festival that brings movies that Milwaukee otherwise would never get a chance to see other than, you know, in our living room, sad and alone and not sharing in the joy of cinema.
Man, The one thing though that I have found the most problematic for me is just deciding what to see, because when you go to the website, it's a little overwhelming.
Oh, absolutely. It's massive. I mean, I get overwhelmed too. And every year there's a movie that I'm really excited about that, you know, I'm just not able to fit into the schedule for some reason or another. I know one of the ones I was really excited, I'm not going to say the name of the movie because it is French and I cannot, I will
say it really fast. Yeah.
It is a Frederick Wiseman, one of his new documentaries about inside this prestigious French kitchen. And it's about like 3-4 hours long. Like Frederick Wiseman makes documentaries that really go into the minutia of his topics. He makes these long documentaries and he goes into, you know, the ins and outs of this legendary French kitchen, this innovative, awesome, traditional, like really cool stuff. And I wanted to see it, but obviously it's really hard to make time for a 4-hour documentary, much less when there's, you know, 60 other movies showing that day that you also want to make time for. So unfortunately, that's one that I'm going to have to miss during the film festival, but there's still so much other, like it is an embarrassment of riches if you're a movie fan.
Well, and it's kind of cool too, because it takes you all over the city. There are different theaters involved all over the place. Yeah. So that's just kind of spreading the love a little bit too.
Yeah. They've got the Time Cinema in Bayview, the Avalon, and obviously the Downer and the Oriental. So make sure to check out we have the full lineup on onmilwaukee.com. And I know Lori, my colleague, our food writer, also writes about places to get food before and after the movie. So if you're seeing that Juliette Binoche movie or the restaurant movie and you need to get food immediately afterwards, or as I recommended beforehand, she's got great recommendations. And I love the community of the Milwaukee Film Festival, the waiting in line for a movie and talking with the person in front of you about, you know, what they've seen and what they liked and what they didn't like. It really makes you excited about the movies. And that's not even talking about the movies themselves, which are so incredible.
I think for me, like, I mean, the film festival is wonderful and I love hearing people talk about it. I had a boss once who would, this time of year, would close his schedule at certain points around certain movies he'd see. He'd be like, I'm taking off for this. I'm in the middle of the day. I'm like, man, do your thing. But what for me warms my heart the most, and because I lived on the East Side years ago, right off of Prospect. So, and I lived there at the Prospect Mall days. So I could go see a Big Run movie at the Marcus Theater in the mall. I could go to the Oriental and see mid-level, or I could walk to the Downer and see an art film. And the fact that the Downer is coming back just makes me so happy, because those movies that you were talking about that don't get those runs here in Wisconsin or in Milwaukee, maybe they can be at the Downer then. Maybe you can see those small films.
Huge. Yeah, no, totally. Over the past 6 or so months since we lost the Downer, I was just like looking back at the movies that I wouldn't have seen on the big screen if it wasn't for the Downer, you know, and it only has 2 screens. But you realize when you have a theater that is fairly dedicated to bringing in independent, you know, kind of, and obviously, you know, theaters got to stay alive, especially in this streaming. So they're bringing in more, you know, big budget movies, but still, like, it was really tremendous stuff like Return to Seoul and Passing, and like they would bring in Netflix movies that otherwise you'd have to just watch at home on streaming. But watching something like Passing or Power of the Dog on the big screen was infinitely better. Having that back and giving Milwaukee Film the freedom, two more screens, so that way, you know, if it's a weekend and it's like, okay, do we want to get the big blockbuster that we know will fill seats but isn't exactly, you know, the oriental kind of what you would expect to see there, or this tiny indie documentary that maybe it'll bring some people in, but maybe it'll also play to like two people all weekend long. They have a little bit more leeway now to, you know, do both, to be able to be like, all right, we're bringing in, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, but then we can also bring in, you know, this indie movie that we really hope people check out. And that's outstanding. And that gives me hope and gets me excited about what's coming to come.
You're so much more hype, bro, Matt, because the last movie that I saw at the Downer Theater was What We Do in the Shadows.
That's a great film.
It is a great film. It is. It's hilarious, but it's just not. Ew.
But I think I think
the Academy Award winning writer and director of Jojo Rabbit.
Yes.
I don't know. Seems pretty prestigious to me.
I saw A Hard Day's Night there with my mom, and it was so fun.
Oh, I bet.
We were singing and we were dancing and we were in a blast. Yeah, I love that theater.
We're talking all things movies with Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. Stay close. We'll be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you for listening wherever you are listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching on the live stream. You can leave a comment there as well. Matt Miller is here from onmilwaukee.com, and we are talking about the Great Milwaukee Film Festival that is kicking off next Thursday. Is it milwaukeefilmfest.com?
mkefilm.org, and you can find the program book on there. You can find tickets and passes of all shapes and sizes. You can find all of the movies. I am just, to call it the tip of the iceberg is overstating it. This is the final. This, I have described the snowflake on top of the tip of the iceberg in terms of what they're bringing in this year.
There are so many movies, and seriously, if you're planning on going, you're going to want to take a long look at that and narrow things down, and
also take a chance,
and some of the movie times are not going to be are not going to work for everybody either.
Yeah, and I do want to, it was funny, you know, you were bringing up, you know, singing and dancing at the Downer for a long day's night. So they've also got a bunch of really awesome music stuff they're bringing back, including Stop Making Sense back on the big screen. Jonathan Demme's, the late great Jonathan Demme's essential concert documentary Stop Making Sense. They had to take it out of their film festival kind of tradition role for the last several years partly because of the pandemic years, but also partly because it got this really nice restoration. So it's never looked and sounded better. And now that's going to be back. And that's always not only a great movie to see on the big screen at the Oriental Theater, but also it turns into a dance party. Everyone just starts singing it and dancing because, like, you watch that movie and you're watching David Byrne in his giant suit, you know, just going at it. And you're like, well, you got to join in, right? So they're going to have that. I know they're going to have a special anniversary screening of Footloose as well, the original Footloose back on the big screen. So a bunch of really cool – again, I always say this, but I feel like sometimes people hear film festival and they imagine, you know, snooty, you know, people wearing berets and smoking and being like, the cinema peaked in 1959 or something like that, you know. Or,
Godard was the last great film maker. Fight
me. My favorite film from last year was a 2013, you know, Turkish. And, you know, honestly, that's me in some cases. My favorite movie last year was a Korean-Canadian hybrid movie. But they have those movies. They have movies for, you know, people who really want to, like, see some really interesting, fascinating cinema. They also have Footloose. They also have Stop Making Sense. They also have documentaries about sports. They have horror movies that are going to sicken you and thrill you.
Are they going to have Poo 2, Blood and More Honey?
No, because this is a film festival for good movies.
Ouch.
They will have the Late Night for the Devil movie, Late Night with the Devil, which is like kind of this faux documentary about an 80s late night talk show where like things went wrong on air with a possessed person. That's worth your time, very much so. They just have a bunch of really great stuff. Like I said, they've got a documentary about the first unofficial Women's World Cup soccer. That is looks really interesting. That's on my to-see list for sure. Again, if you have an interest in something, they've got something at the film festival that interests you. Just take a shot, you know? Take a risk on something you maybe don't know much about, and then, you know, maybe see some of that comfort food. See that Footloose. See that Stop Making Sense. You know, they will have a documentary about Gene Wilder, you know? A lot of really cool stuff.
Oh, I would love to see that. I really would. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is there are also special events tied to some of these movies, right, Matt?
Yes, not as many as years ago, because it's a little hard because, again, you know, getting people around, pandemic and all that stuff. But they still have awesome events. There's going to be all sorts of fun commotion going on around the festival at the local bars, at the restaurants. There's always conversations going on, discussions, which is really cool. They always bring in some famous faces, some familiar faces. And also, like, a lot of times they bring in directors and writers and producers, the people behind these movies. So it's a really awesome opportunity to see great movies and find out more about how these great movies came to be. And I believe they're going to bring in some of the filmmakers for some of their centerpiece and opening and closing night films, or at least trying to. So it's so awesome. Like, I know I'm so slobbering over this film festival, but it truly, to me, is one of the best things to do in Milwaukee.
Matt, why are you apologizing for liking something?
I'm a critic. I'm not used to it, you know?
It's fine.
It's your job to dislike things.
No. It's my job to think about
things. There you go. Well, you can always read more of Matt at onmilwaukee.com. And as you said, Matt, one of your colleagues has a kind of a companion piece if you're looking for places to eat, either before or after you see one of these movies.
Yeah, and I'll be running an article next week of kind of my, like, picks, like the ones that I'm most excited about seeing. So keep your eye on that and on Milwaukee. And I'll have picks every day on Milwaukee of, like, three movies to check out today. So if you're looking for a recommendation, if you don't know what to choose, what to look at, come say hi. I've got a bunch of picks for you at On Milwaukee.
And as you said, maybe step out of your comfort zone a little bit. Check out something different. Yeah.
Yeah, Rice Boy Sleeps was not on my, like, must-sees list last year. And I was like, well, I've got time. I'll go check it out, see how it is. And it ended up being the best movie I saw last year. So
fantastic.
Those kind of awesome discoveries can happen. And you know what? Sometimes the opposite happens, where you see a movie and you're like, woof, that was not my favorite. But you will never walk out and be like, nah, I'll never think about that movie again. You will walk out, hate it or love it, you will have something to say about it.
That's kind of like what my sister-in-law said about Late Night with the Devil. I asked her yesterday, because she's a horror aficionado. I said, did you see the movie? She goes, yeah. It's weird. Every time someone asks me, I have to remember that I saw that movie. She's like, it's just so forgettable. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Very weird that premise.
That's a weird take on that movie, yeah. I gotta say. Yeah, I would not describe it as forgettable. I'm going to have a discussion. We're going to have to debate that.
Milwaukee Film Festival kicks off next Thursday. It is the happiest time of the year. For OnMilwaukee.com's film critic, Matt Miller, thank you so very much, Matt. We will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Have a great weekend.
See you at the festival.
Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Greg. Without you guys, the show doesn't work. Thank you, everyone, for listening and calling and texting. It means the world. I hope you find some joy this weekend and you have the chance to share it. And keep it right here. News is next, followed by Todd Alba across the Civic Media Radio Network.